Randala.
He hasn't come on yet.
Okay.
You doing okay? I haven't talked to you in a while.
It's a little cold outside, but I came in. I was doing a little yard work today. And how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. I baked today. The pumpkin shake roast.
but
yesterday and today, Tony's been fighting high blood pressure, but this afternoon it finally settled down.
Oh, well, that was good.
They put him on prednisone. I was going to call you and ask you about how many milligrams you had to take when...
10.
Just 10?
I take 10 milligrams every day. But if they're trying to reduce something, they may give you what they call a Medrol pack, and you may take up to 30 milligrams a day, but it decreases. You know, like it may start out at 30 and then 20 and then 10 and then 5.
Okay, but he's 30, but he's 30 for 14 days. And then he drops to 20 until he sees the doctor on the 13th.
He must have a lot of inflammation.
Oh, he does, yeah.
Well, that's why they did that. You can take high doses of that for short periods of time. And it's okay. You know, 30 milligrams is okay. I've taken up to 40 milligrams. But it was only a short span of time like he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So he should start to feel better. But
well, he feels better, except all of a sudden, you know, high blood pressure, you don't really have any symptoms.
Right. Is he hungry?
Today he is down.
Sometimes it makes you hungry.
Oh, I know.
Good afternoon. Can I ask what makes you hungry?
Prednisone?
It's a drug I don't know about. So.
It's an anti-inflammatory, and I take 10 milligrams a day to keep my lungs working.
Okay.
But the downside is it makes you hungry all the time, and it makes you gain weight. In 1 week, I gained 20 pounds, and I wasn't even eating.
So it sounds like it's a fluid retainer.
Yeah.
So when they give it to you, they should also give you a diuretic.
Yeah, they should, but they don't.
Well, you can ask them to.
Yeah. Or you can drink coffee.
You gained 20 pounds of coffee fluid.
Not with me. When I drink coffee, I visit the ladies' room a lot. That's so funny. No fluid.
Well, I guess we're ready to start.
Okay.
Another way of saying it, I'm a little uncomfortable with this conversation.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to embarrass you.
You didn't embarrass me. It's just, it's not, there are certain conversations that belong between women and other conversations that belong between men. And sometimes there's conversations that belong between the two. I don't think this is one of them.
Okay.
And I'm the one who started it, so I'm the guilty one, so I'm sorry.
Not a problem. I actually asked the question that I overheard something I didn't know. So I learned. But curiosity
bumps him on a high dosage, and it kept him up all night with high blood pressure. So I knew Brandy. I just hadn't had the chance to call her. So, and we shouldn't have been like this, but we were taken. I'm sorry.
Not a problem. I believe we're starting at chapter 31, section 3. Is that correct?
Well, that's what I have it open to.
It's a short conversation, and I haven't prepared section 4, even though there's a link that says that. So I got it to the wrong link. So we'll just see what happens. I can tell you how to change it when the time comes. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bit Hilur Himud Hilud Hilur Himud L'yakta L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe V'yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asof Torah Mitzvah V'ahino Amadunai Elohinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kanunei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kanunei. Left shoulder, the root of Cain. Chapter 31, section 3. Now we will explain the left shoulder of Adam, which is called the Cain root. It is considered only one limb, but as with all limbs, it incorporates flesh, tendons, and bones. The tendons in each of these limbs are not included in the 365 tendons of the 248 limbs, but are small arteries in each limb. The three levels of each limb, from head to heels, flesh, tendons, and bones, divide into 600,000 soul sparks, making up one complete partsuf. The left heel of this partsuf divides into more than the 613 soul sparks, from which comes the souls of Heskiah, the king of Judah, Rabbi Akiva, Ben Yosef, and Akavia ben Mechalelel. There is a link joining the souls of this root. However, the seed drop from this heel that goes to the Yesod can be called Yaakov, and sometimes Akavia ben Mehalelal, and sometimes Akiva, and the like.
Now, the entire level. Are Yaakov and Akavia and Akiva, are they considered then partsuf?
Yaakov is considered a partsuf. I've never heard Akiva called a partsuf. And Akavia, I don't know much about, but I'm sure it's a lot of discussion in the Talmud about it.
Okay.
So my sense is they probably are considered partsuf in the same way that Rachel and Leah are considered a partsuf.
Right. Okay. Well, I knew we were familiar with Yaakov, but... the other two, I don't think I've ever seen it either, so...
Well, Akiva ben Yosef is the famous Rabbi Akiva.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we've seen him associated as a partsuf, you know.
I agree. Well, other than the sense that we know that Akiva is a reincarnation of Cain. And so in that sense, we're being told he's a partsuf now.
Okay.
continuing.
He was from the left shoulder, too, so. Okay.
Well, he's the left shoulder of Adam.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so the left shoulder of Adam, which consists of 613 parts, which consists of 600,000 soul sparks, is the Hartsuf of Cain. But it's also more than the Hartsuf of Cain. Cain himself is the left shoulder of Adam. And so he is one of the, it's as if he is a root of human beings. And there's another root of human beings, which is Abel, the other son of Adam, and then Adam himself. So those are the three primary soul roots of human beings.
Well, here they're focusing on the left heel, you know, where it first said the three levels would be slim, it's from head to heels, but it's focusing on the left heel. So maybe all
the
that.
Left heel, they're focusing on the left heel of the root of Cain, which is the left shoulder of Adam. So there's also three left heels. Is it confusing?
A little bit. I wrote your note. I wrote what you said, so I'll ponder it.
What it's saying is that there's, I'm going to use science to give you a metaphor to understand it.
Okay.
How many parts are the atom up there? There's the electron. There is the nucleus, which is composed of neutrons and protons. So essentially, there are three parts of the atom. But if you delve into the nucleus, you split it apart, you get to smaller components of protons and smaller components of neutrons. So you get to tachyons and quasars and all of these different strange names that we've heard scientifically, that we read in modern journals, but we really don't know what they are, and they don't know what they are because nobody's ever seen them, nobody's touched them. They just have an impact in some way in a cyclotron. And this is what we're describing. There are three roots of human beings which come from the three sons of Noah. But those three sons of Noah come from the three roots of Adam, Cain, and Abel.
That makes sense.
And within each root, there is an image of a human being composed of 613 parts, 248 parts of the body, and 365 sinews, ligaments, and tendons. But in this paragraph that we just read, they're saying that there's up to 600,000 different parts in each human being. And any part of the body, any spark of the body, has a soul spark. So if you take that image that you've talked to me about many times, the glyph that has Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh as a human being, one right, vertically. The yud is the head, the hay are the two shoulders and the body. Then there's the vav that runs through from the body and just kind of peeks itself out. And then there's the other lower hay that represents like the pelvis and the two legs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in that, if we delved into that glyph, we would find another yud hey vav hey within each line that's in that glyph, within each body part that's in the chest. There's a human being, yud hey vav hey, the same structure. So you keep delving in and delving in and delving in. Where did all these different levels come from? They come from the 600,000 soul sparks that are in the human being that we named Cain, that represent the left shoulder, which is a human being on its own right, of Adam. I hope that's helpful.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
So I'm continuing. So the entire level of the heel is the malchut of that part suf. But it doesn't clarify which the malchut of the heel of Cain is what we're talking about. And we know the word part suf means there's 10 sephirot within each of those structures. So there's 10 sephirot within Malchut, which is one of the 10 part sephirot of the heel of Cain, which is one of the 10 sephirot of the shoulder of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing. The entire level of the heel is the malchut of that partsuf. And there is therefore an ability for all the souls of this heel to ascend until the secret of makshava, the thought, which is the hakma of arishanpin, or arish, in the secret of the woman, malchut, will court the man, hakma, which is prophecy of Jeremiah. The woman symbolizes the awakening from below, female waters. When she is the catalyst for the relationship, she then, as if courts the man, ascends to unite with and assume the male aspect. This is also called a woman of valor, is the crown of her husband. From the external perspective, this is a lower level. Inside, it is really higher. The Bina feminine aspect ricochets above Chachma to Keter. This is the secret of this soul root being so essential to the final redemption, which is incumbent upon drawing the Keter flow. And those redeemed by Hashem shall return, eternal joy upon their heads, the place of the Keter, of the crown, a prophecy from Isaiah. For this reason, Rabbi Akiva ascended to the level of Makshava, as the sages indicate that they wrote about him, quiet. This is what went up to Makshava. Understand this. Upon seeing a vision of Rabbi Akiva being ruthlessly executed, Moses questioned God and was answered, quiet. It seems as if God was telling Moses that the answer to the question is beyond comprehension. On a deeper level, the answer was that Rabbi Akiva reached the perfect inclusion in the level of Makshava, the very foundation of creation. As the rabbis teach, at first Makshava thought God wanted to create the world within, with judgment. He saw that the world could not endure like that, so he attached it to it the quality of mercy. This is an unwritten commentary. Which is higher, thought or emotions? Let me rephrase it. Which is higher, intellect or emotions?
I would think intellect.
And most people do think intellect is higher. And within our normal perceptions, intellect is higher than emotions. But are there emotions? Let me use different words. Which is higher, intellect or emotions? Intellect. Which is higher, intellect or feelings?
Well, I can't always trust my feelings. So, you know, now I know when we think of emotions, we think of the separate road. So,
well, we know those sephirot, we're referring to the seven lower sephirot. We're revealing to the world of Yetzirah.
Okay.
But then what's above the world of Yetzirah is the world of Bria, which consists of, in more normal discussions, Bina and Chachma. But is Keter part of the world of Bria? No. There's a higher world called Atzilut, and an even higher world called Adam Kadmon, which we don't really talk about much, just to mention it by name. So there are feelings which are higher than intellect. And ultimately, they are the highest level. But as you said, I can't trust my feelings. But in fact, you can trust your feelings if you're brutally honest with your perception of your actions in that day or that week or that month, because everybody has a time frame of teshuvah. You do a negative action. How long does it take before the effect of that negative action hits you in your life as chaos? For some people, it's a year. Some people, it's next lifetime. For some people, it's the same day. But ultimately, there are feelings that if you are honest about your actions, you'll know when your feelings are lying to you. When you say you can't trust your feelings, it's only because you haven't evaluated your day in an honest way. So you have fallen into the trap of saying, I was positive with what I did, when the spiritual courts define that action as negative, because your unconscious was in a frame of selfishness. But what is it? How do I know that it was selfish when I don't touch my unconscious? That's why you have to be brutally honest and really delve into why. What is your motivation? But with that understanding of the process, this paragraph becomes much more clear.
Well, I know it said that, you know, Hashem knew he had to create mercy. But then we know that, I don't know, from a previous class not too long ago, that Rabbi Akiva reach that high spiritual level because he actually suffered what he did, you know, how he died. And that actually caused him to reach on that level of Machina.
Correct. But it was a test, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
As they tore his skin off, he still loved the Creator.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
As they tore his skin off, he still loved the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Go away from me, snake," to his student, saying the question was designed as a test for him to fall to the snake.
How would you love Hashem with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind? And now he knew.
And now he knew. That was the test.
Yeah, okay.
But that's not an intellect, is it? It's a feeling. It's above intellect.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I see that. Okay.
Now, is the world based on judgment or mercy?
I think it's based on both.
Well, it's based on mercy in our physical world of tikkun. But when Mashiach comes, what is he going to bring? He's going to bring peace and serenity and love, right? He's going to not have to have an Armageddon war. But what is the Armageddon war? It's judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Is love going to outperform and be higher than judgment? Isn't Bina judgment? And isn't Bina higher than Chesed?
Yes. That's why we say we have to discipline our children because
if you don't, they become terrors.
Right.
And what is the world dealing with today? Terror. The highest level is the Keter, the crown. The crown is outside the body. It sits on the head. What is the basis of the crown? What is the Keter of the Keter? Ultimately, it's judgment. The Keter of the Keter is doing the right thing with doing the right action with the right consciousness in the right place at the right time. Look at those four levels. Those four levels represent judgment, don't they?
And when you do that, then you can trust your emotions. When you're questioning yourself. Okay.
You can trust, let's use the word, then you can trust your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can trust your intuition. Should I continue to read? Because this commentary paragraph is now a little more clear.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to relate it to what's happened in the last few days in our own personal life, and I guess that's my hesitation, because I see what you're saying is relating to the last 2 days with Tony and high blood pressure and on prednisone, and I don't want to take the time to go through it all, but all that's going through my head at the same time that we're, that we're discussing this, because I see how I fell again. I'll call it Satan in a different set of clothes, and I didn't recognize it. And so this is
the scariest I'm sorry, go ahead and finish.
Well, when I realized it, all of a sudden, guess what? I voiced it to him, and when he took his blood pressure was normal. So I felt like we stayed up half the night, taking his blood pressure and reading online how to bring, because, we didn't want to go to the emergency room, and it was, nighttime and all of that. And I did a search. There were all kind of things you could do naturally to reduce. Well, nothing worked, not even taking blood pressure medicine, which he's been on. And then when we discussed it today, all the things that we have gone through, because we've had such a bad experience with two family members, our daughter and a real good friend, when they were on such a high level of prednisone, and I'm not talking about Brandy. Brandy wasn't one of them. And then it struck me that, from the very beginning with his illness, remember I made a statement when the doctor said what he had was always cancer, and it just came out of me, we'll be your first. It's not going to be cancer. And Thursday, we got the report that, again, it came back not cancer. Okay, but I could see what happened was my certainty was dropping because of these symptoms and these memories of my daughter and my good friend that had such terrible effects with the prednisone. And then it struck me, well, okay, that was the Satan again in a different set of clothes. He isn't my daughter. He isn't my best friend. Hashem had already given us the word, okay, he would be the first not for it not to be cancer. And like I say, this afternoon he took his blood pressure and it was normal. So, but we voiced it and we talked about it, And somehow that all fits in this with emotions and feelings and what I call Satan taking on a different set of clothes and trying to steal your certainty.
Until someone realizes that their spouse can be the Satan for that instant with that question, with that situation, for them, that your spouse becomes your Satan. Mm-hmm. Until you realize that that's possible, you're always going to be confused.
No, but I don't think it was him. I think it was me. I was the Satan this time.
I understand that. But relative to him, you were the Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were trying to say, how can we get it down without the drug? Because you had fear of the drug.
Mm-hmm.
How can you have certainty when you have fear? You can't.
Well, see, it was that image of my daughter being so sick. And
I understand. As a human being, it's very rational. It's very irrational to have the fear of the drugs. But it doesn't mean that it's always correct. Because of the fear, you do X, Y, Z. You have to go through the process, and each process is relative to the souls involved. And so you can't just take one situation and then apply it to the next. You got to start back at the beginning. Who's the satan in this situation? Who has certainty in this situation? Where are we? Are we talking about feelings? Are we talking about intellect? Are we talking about emotions? And I've defined feelings different than I define emotions. And in English, that doesn't make any sense, does it?
Well, to me, the fear, and I didn't take it as a level of fear, maybe a lower level. It was just the experiences that I'd had, and they were vivid experiences. And very, you know, very close persons to me, not distant people, you know, or people that I just barely knew. And but when I realized, you know, that he wasn't them, and Hashem had already given us, you know, especially that first time, I mean, it didn't even go through my head when the doctor said it's always cancer. I mean, it just came out from inside. Well, we'll be your first. And there was no reason to think that that would change, and especially since Thursday we got the report again that it was still not cancer, you know. So, anyway, this definitely fit.
Understanding.
It really fit.
It does.
I hope it helps somebody.
I'm sure it will. Let's continue.
Okay.
Rabbi Akiva lived his life in extreme piety. Rabbi Akiva lived his life in extreme piety, fulfilling the mitzvahs to a superhuman degree of exactingness. In the grand finale of his death at the stake, he connected to judgment, the initial motion of creation. His students asked him then how he could bear such torture, and he explained that his entire life he was waiting for this moment. But could judgment be the starting point of Genesis? Doesn't it say the world is built for loving kindness? A verse from Psalms. The sacred works are filled with an elaboration on the theme that everything was made for good. But because Hashem wanted to give man the greatest good possible, he originally thought to set existence on the strictest standard. The higher the standard man lives up to, the more good he is able to receive. However, when he saw that the world could not bear it, he toned down the din, the judgment, and he paired it with loving kindness. However, there are extremely rare individuals who ascend to the plane of the originally intended standard and merit a place in the world that is coming that no one else can access. Here the Ari explains that Rabbi Akiva was especially geared to reach such a plateau, since his soul is a major hitter in the left or the din cane root. This equipped him with the ability to bear and to live with harsh judgment on a daily basis, reaching crescendo in death. I'm sure you've heard me say, this is an unwritten commentary, I'm sure you've heard me say that it's not that a woman, when she's in her period, is impure, and that's why she cannot touch her husband. What I've said is that the woman can handle that judgment. She's in a frame of judgment, but it gets transferred to the man when there is touch between them. But he cannot handle that judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what this is. This commentary is saying.
Mm-hmm.
One of the major underlying themes of the Sha'ar HaGilgulim is that the Mashiach process primarily involves the rectification and revelation of the Cain root. Since Rabbi Akiva is one of the greatest of this root, there came a spark of messianic energy in his generation, embodied in Bar Kokhba. Rabbi Akiva did not make a mistake. On the contrary, because of his special level, he alone recognized that Bar Kokhba actually had a part of the messianic soul, and that it was on the verge of being actualized. The fact that it wasn't successful does not take away from this truth. It was another major step to the final redemption. Regarding these two shoulders, go ahead.
You don't see that statement.
I didn't hear the last word you said.
I said you don't read that statement about that. Most of the time it's considered a criticism in the commentaries that I've read, you know, that Rabbi Akiva did make a mistake.
Correct.
So it's good to see it at least written.
What was the mistake? It wasn't that he saw Bar Kokhba as the Messiah. It was for him not realizing that the world wasn't ready.
Mm-hmm.
And why does he see that? Why did he not realize that? For the same reason when I tell you the story of the Baal Shem Tov and Moshe the Ganef. The Baal Shem Tov could not see that Moshe was a thief. He only saw him as the Brevi that he would become, with many students of his own. What was Rabbi Akiva's mistake? That he didn't see the world wasn't ready.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody is writing that the mistake was that he called them Bar Kokhba, the Messiah. But Bar Kokhba is a spark of the Messiah. But the world wasn't ready, and so he had to fail. Does that mean he shouldn't have fought the fight? Two thousand years later, there's some soul that's going to be enlivened and going to take positive responses from the thought that Rabbi Akiva and Bar Kokhba made the fight. I'll have to make the fight against unbelievable odds also. But I won't give up because they didn't give up. And that will be their motivation, his motivation or her motivation. We have no idea how things impact the world. We don't see the whole picture. We're going through this with respect to the impeachment process. It's the same thing that's going on. It's the same energies. What is it? What's right? What's wrong? You know, I have one opinion, you have another opinion. Are they the same opinion? Who knows? We don't really talk about it. But the question is, clearly, President Trump has given the modern state of Israel some major benefits. But does that mean that in the long run, that's the right thing for him to have done? Do we see what is the prophecy that there will be 10 nations coming against the land of Israel? they're coming against Jerusalem. Well, how is that going to be set up? One of the ways to set it up is to make Jerusalem the capital of Israel, recognized by many countries in the world, and that's going to incite the Arabs to become stronger. Is that one of the possible scenarios? Yes. Will it happen? No, if we do our work. We do our work of correcting the world, correcting ourselves. But is it still one of the possibilities? Absolutely. Are we doing enough? The answer's got to be no. But we will keep trying. Continuing to read. Regarding these two shoulders, when a defect results from a certain sin in one of the shoulders, or if the defect is in the left shoulder, such as when it becomes blemished through the sin of Cain, whose place it is, then the right shoulder also becomes blemished. Therefore, even though someone whose root is the left shoulder will have long hairs from both his shoulders, there will be more hair on his left shoulder than on his right shoulder, since that is his main place. However, if the right shoulder becomes defected, which is the root of Abel, then the sign will only be in the right shoulder. The left level of din always includes the right side within itself. So it affects the right side together with itself, whereas the right side can as if be alone at times. Hairs are constrictions of the mental energies. Excuse me. Hairs are constriction of the mental energies. They come from din, from judgment, and accordingly is a vehicle of expression for the side of judgment. So we find that the hair of the left shoulder of one who is from the left shoulder will be more than on the rest of his body, to indicate that it is the place from which he is connected to Adam. In Shar Ruach HaKodesh, the gate of divine inspiration, in the chapter Hakarat HaPartsuf, recognizing faces, a little about the letters Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama is explained. And let's read the footnotes and my commentary. As the rabbis teach, when the Romans imprisoned him, he received small portions of rationed water. Instead of drinking it, he used it to wash his hands. It is important to point out that for the overwhelming majority who are not holding by such a level, such behavior would actually be considered a sin. Why would it be considered a sin? Because by not taking water, he threatens his life. But at a certain level, he knows he's only going to have 2 more days to live or 3 more days to live, so that he really doesn't need the water to live. So it's more important for him to wash his hands and maintain his purity. But does that apply to everyone in that situation? No. They don't know when they're going to pass. Number two, this is in line with the principle. In a place where there is a male, the female is not there mentioned. This is a recognition of the unity between male and female. If you mention it, use the male form of a verb, the female is included. But in today's world, as part of the feminist movement, That's no longer clear. Why? Because we've lost contact with this understanding that the left includes the right and the right includes the left. Number three, there are signs on the body for those who have the ability to discern the soul root. Everything is known, everything is revealed, but not to people who are not knowledgeable. My commentary. There are tremendous secrets being revealed in this section, and I can say that a lot of them came out in our discussions. Please ask the questions so they can be revealed more directly, and you have done so, and it is very much appreciated. And it will be utilized by others as they listen to the recordings.
What if there's no hair on the left shoulder and the right shoulder, but further down the back, more toward the middle back, there's hair on both sides?
It's telling you the root is in Adam, not in the shoulders of Adam. How many places on the body are there hairs? Not counting on the head where you have 13 places where there are hairs on the beard. But on the body, how many? Do you know?
No, not right off.
Well, it's in the book of, I think it's Leviticus, or no, it's Deuteronomy, when it talks about the blessing of the Kohanim. There are 9 places. What's the sum of 13 and 9? 22.
Mm-hmm.
What are hairs on the human body? What are hairs? We're just being told very clearly, hairs are constricted light. What is the nature of light? It expands. It wants to share. Its nature is to share. So what is hair coming out? It's light that wants to get out of the body. It's feeling constricted by the body. But it's constricted, meaning it has to get out of the body, it has to narrow itself. It has to become less.
I think we had a question about hair on the face, you know, when we were doing the lesson on hair, I think. It was either the hair or the face reading anyway, and I do remember that coming up.
But hair is just one of hairdresser.
The stuff. Here we go again, I'm sorry. Last week I did mention about cutting of the hair and taking it home with you. And she told me, I thought she would be shocked, but she was not, because she said when she first started as a beautician many, many years ago, there was an Italian lady who would come and she would spread newspaper all over the floor when she'd get a haircut. And then she would pick up that newspaper and she made sure she got every piece of hair and would take it home with her.
Right.
So I kind of was surprised. She wasn't shocked at all. And I was surprised that it was an Italian lady, too.
Why?
Because mostly it's French people, you know, here in Lake Charles, especially where she lives, which was where I grew up, just right around the block.
You remember me telling you what the Talmud says about slaves being sold into Rome?
No, I don't.
The Talmud says, in passing, not a major incident, they just make a statement and move on to other statements. There were 100,000 Jewish souls sold into Rome as slaves after the destruction of the temple. The question why do we need to know that?
I thought you were... I'm sorry.
I know. Why do we need to know that? The answer is we need to know it to understand that there's a significant portion of the Italians who have a Jewish soul. The Catholic Church came out of the Jewish religion, but more importantly, the Catholic Church came out of the Jewish soul.
On Tony's crest, there's a Roman, there's an eagle, you know, that represented Rome. But on each side, there are Star of Davids made out of little Star of Davids on each side. So I've got like way back. That was an indication.
Correct.
Also, his grandmother, I mean, they translated when they came to Lake Charles, they translated, the teachers did. Those immigrants that came from his family, Shoemaker. But in reality, when I did the genealogy, it was Simcha. Shemecha. You know, there are different spellings through the generations, but it started off being...
with Simcha.
Simcha. Yeah, Simcha, and then Shemecha, and then... they translated it as Shoemaker. And, of course, his grandmother was from Naples, Italy. And you get those little hints.
Yes, you do. But even though I said that when you have hair in the back, in the center of your back, it's an indication of coming from Adam rather than the two shoulders. There are other signs that ameliorate it, and you have to remember there are 248 parts of the body, so it could be that part of the body, being the back, may be coming from Adam, but some other parts of the body could be coming from Cain or Abel, from the shoulders. So you have to take the overall.
Right. And then you have to go back and reread. You know, because at different levels, at different times you understand certain parts or certain parts stand out to you of that body part. And the next time you go back, it's a different body part. It might be the hair on the head. It might be the hair on the face. So it's a constant adventure with Hashem.
And just remember, we still have 30-plus verses to go through on just the circumcision. So it's going to be very stimulating.
And,
you have a good evening.
Okay, Shavu'ot you too. Thank you. Shavu'ot Shalom. Bye, Brandy.
Shalom. Bye. Bye.
Make sure you take your Pregazone.
I will. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.